you find your place in the Bible, Ezekiel 14, and if you'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired word. We're dealing with American Idol entertainment today. We had a visitor last Sunday. We went to visit him. One of our teams did Monday night and said, we really like the preacher. He was to the point. He preached short, and we got out of there. And then someone spoke up Wednesday night and said it was Mother's Day. He was anxious to go see his mother. So anyway, we'll see if we can get to the point today. American Idol entertainment. Let's start reading verse number 2. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Verse 4, we're in chapter 14 of Ezekiel. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourself from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is always in attendance, and I pray your Holy Spirit now would anoint us, fill us with your Spirit, God, that we would not just speak that which comes to our hearts or our minds, but thus saith the Lord. I pray for your fresh oil. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Well, let's define idolatry again. I want you to pay very close attention. Idolatry is putting something or someone in the place of God. Listen carefully. Romans 1, 23-25 talks about exchanging the truth of God for a lie. God will not accept second place in our hearts, and he will not share first place. Anything you love more, fear more, serve more, or value more than God is your idol. The more you worship idols, the more you participate in them. But the more you worship Christ, the more Christ-like you become. Look at any person who's walked with God a long time, and you'll see Christ in that person. When you worship the wrong God, you will live the wrong way. Can I get an amen? Amen. When you worship the wrong God, you get the wrong way. What about this idol of entertainment? Someone has said that we're in danger of entertaining ourselves to death. Our lives must be full of more and yet more entertainment. Entertainment, they say, will save our economy. Entertainment is the ultimate judge of talent, worth, and value. We are entertained from the cradle to the grave. Leaders provide it, and the mob insist upon it. And of course, religion, church, and God must all be entertaining. And we will have nothing to do with them unless we're entertained. We do not, however, say this to one another. We talk about worship, our church growth, our evangelism, our youth ministry, but what we're actually doing is more and more entertainment. We call it ministry, but it is increasingly merely entertainment. Preachers have been traded for comedians and great storytellers. Specialized ministries for children, youth, students, music, and senior adults must be entertaining. But we are all quite skilled at saying they're actually about fellowship or discipleship. The entertainment industry has been invading the Christian marketplace. There is a point at which entertainment is used in a right way, it can glorify God. However, there is a point in which it consumes our thoughts, our faith, our lives, and us. Where we are says much about our entertainment, much closer to the end, I expect, than the beginning, is where we are on that line of thinking. Certainly, entertainment has swept into the church as well, and I want to deal with that. First of all, what God is dealing with the people of Israel, is idols of the heart. Notice how he says that in verse 3. Son of man, he's saying, these people have set up their idols in their hearts. A German philosopher many years ago said something I thought was pretty amazing. He said something to the effect that the more a man has in his own heart, the less he will require from the outside. Excessive need for support from without is proof of the bankruptcy of the inner man. I think that's true. You know what? I believe what you and I need to learn here today, if you don't fill your life up with the right God, you'll fill your life up with the wrong God. You got to be very careful. You're going to get filled with something, right? And think about it. How many people sit in front of a television and how the world is able to program them and their lives? And we're seeing that acted out in many ways. Well, there's three things I'm going to give you real quick about the idols of the heart. Number one, selfishness. He says, son of man, these have set up their idols. Idols have been removed from their presence, but was still present in their heart. In other words, whatever the outside idol was, God was saying, I know your hearts and you're selfish. You see, that's what the phrase there, set up, means in the Hebrew. The actual word there is Allah. It means to take up, to raise oneself up, basically to do what one pleases regardless of what God says. I believe we've all been set up. I do. I really believe that the world has set us up. And you know, idolatry is such a subtle thing. It's easy for it to come in before you even know what's going on. Amen? And so don't be deceived. And under God, don't be selfish. Because selfishness is an idol of the heart. And then he talks about a stumbling block here. He says in verse 3, in their hearts and put the stumbling block. Entertainment has become a big stumbling block in America. The American idols of television, video games, sports, just to name a few. Here's one thing I want you to look up on the slide. The time per week that people have watched television by age group. It's mind-boggling. This is a survey taken, ages 2 to 11, 24 hours a week. Ages 12 to 14, 20 hours. Ages 18 to 24, 22 hours. Ages 25, 34, 27 hours. Ages 35, 49, 33 hours. Ages 50 to 64, 43 hours a week. Ages 65 plus is 50 hours. My mom's here today. She'll soon be 92. That's probably true for her because she ain't got nothing else to do but watch television. But anyway, it can become a stumbling block. It can. I mean, it can really, because you know what? It becomes your life. And a lot of people, that's all. Do you know that their marriages have ended because of video games? Yeah. I mean, it's a big deal. There are many Americans today who worship the altar of Hollywood. And may this not be said of the people of God. The desire to be constantly entertained by the television has led to many tragic spiritual consequences. People expect assemblies of churches to be entertaining and something similar to what they could watch on television or see in a movie. I take it, I haven't quite got it yet, that's why the preacher being on the screen is a big thing now. You know, I've never had a desire to be on a screen. I just don't think I would look as good. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I saw some of you put your head down. You praying for me. But really, if I was going to watch the preaching on a screen, I'd just stay at home. I mean, that's my view. But a lot of other people, I think, choose to do that because that's the way they were brought up. They've watched, you know, television so much, they want to go to church and watch television. I don't know. But let's talk about something else. I'm dealing with some dangerous topics today. I'm a dangerous preacher, all right? And then music, okay? Do you know more lyrics to spiritual songs or secular songs? Here's a scripture. Oh, I heard some mm's there. A lot of folks know country music better than they know gospel music. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. It's what's in your heart. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of man, and musical instruments of all kinds. You see, I personally believe our voices belong to God. I personally believe that all these instruments we've got up here, I see, well, there's a new guitar over there, drum set, we got a keyboard, brand new keyboard here. I believe all this ought to be used for the glory of God. In fact, David taught it in the Psalms that all instruments belong to God. And, you know, you say, well, the rock, that's being rock and roll. No, the rock, yeah, I'm standing on the rock, my name's on the roll, and I personally believe it don't belong to the rock and roll scene. I believe it belongs to God. I believe all instruments belong to God. I believe all voices belong to God. And if you're not willing to use your voice for the glory of God, he can take it, you know? So use your voice to praise him, thank him. I do that. Hey, the Bible says make a joyful noise, and say you have to carry a tune. We want to be entertaining on Sunday instead of instructed by Holy Scripture. We want to hear music that sounds like the secular music of the day that often has little of the Word of God in it. It's lyrics instead of a sermon that will rightly divide the word of truth. We leave church in a hurry because we want to be entertained by the football game that starts an hour. Preachers feel that they will lose their congregation if they don't entertain them. Sermons are watered down so they don't offend anyone. But Jesus Christ offended everybody as the sword of truth disrupts the system of the world, even the world including its religion. The God of entertainment has sunk its adulterous roots into the church, and each of us should pray and examine our hearts that this idol is not sitting on the throne of our life. Next slide I want you to look at is the internet and the video games. Dozens of people, this is the truth. Now, I can't quite read. I don't know if you can see that or not. It's my perfect day. Wake up, play video games, eat breakfast, play video games, eat lunch, play video games, eat dinner, play video games, go to sleep. I really believe that T-shirt could be handed out in the parking lot at Gorge Springs Baptist Church, because I'm telling you every day, I am not lying, I'm standing here behind this pulpit, there are a dozen or more people that drive up in the parking lot at Gorge Springs Baptist Church to play Pokemon. Am I saying it right? I don't even know what Pokemon is. One day, there were five cars and trucks backed up next to the playground. The kids of these families were playing in the playground. I've never seen any of these folks. I thought, what a great witnessing opportunity. So I just hung out with them, and I began to tell them about Jesus. And they were playing Pokemon. Do you know every one of them left? I was so offended. I mean, I thought, well, you can play Pokemon at church. I can tell you about Jesus, can I? I offended them. No, they didn't offend me for playing Pokemon. They didn't offend me letting the kids play on the playground. I just wanted to tell them about Jesus. And they all left me. I was standing in the parking lot all by myself with no Pokemon, no game, or no nothing. I'd just rather have Jesus, amen? But seriously, the internet and video games have taken over, and they're destroying people's lives. I mean, internet has become an idol. Video games have become an idol. We need to be careful, all right? What else is on that? Social media, Satan's weapons of mass distraction or destruction. How's that? All right? Marriage dissolves because of video game addiction. It really does happen. I know why it happens. Most of what I see out here, saw it Thursday, a man was out here and I watched him. You know, I do have one concern that we have kids. They're so involved in that, they'll run over you. You know, they're playing their Pokemon. They're not thinking about there might be other people walking around here, like the preacher, don't hit me. Anyway, but seriously, it's destroying things. And then, since I've already got somebody mad, let's talk about sports. Are you a fan or are you a fanatic? Fanatic. I'll get it out. Because you know what? It's one thing to be a fan. It's another thing to be a fanatic. And some are. There's nothing wrong with sports until you get obsessed with it. Am I right? So it's okay to be a fan of your favorite sport team. Sports can be a source of distraction and even idolatry among us. God is jealous for his glory, refuses to share his rightful place as first passion with anyone or anything else. You know, you remember Tim Tebow? Remember what Tebowing was? You know, where he get down on one knee and he'd pray. You know, that's a good example, isn't it? Am I right saying Tebowing? Yeah, he Tebowed. He would pray. But what I don't like are the guys who took a knee at the national anthem. And see, you say, well, preacher, you have it all. You're okay with someone praise. But you know what? I personally don't believe that you ought to be in this country, and you certainly ought not to play football for the National Football League if you're going to take a knee at the playing of the national anthem. That's my view. I just believe that we ought to be thankful we live in a free country where you can play football. And you know what? Who pays their salaries? We do. You know, the people in America. You know why? Because we like entertainment, and we spend not millions. We spend billions of dollars. You know why these professional football players make so much money? Because we want to be entertained. I thought it would get quiet in here. An uncontrolled love of sports can arouse God's jealousy. Sports is not sinful. It is the obsessive love of sports that is the problem. God didn't create sports. We did. But people created sports in response to the world God created. Sports are capable of providing spectacular glimpses of truth, beauty, and goodness as athletes tune and discipline their bodies to perform amazing feats. And indeed, I consider sports to be a competitive manifestation of the performing arts. But God's gifts are always in danger of getting turned into idols. And we can so fixate on something good that it somehow just has a subtle way of deceiving us. And that's when it becomes sin. And that's the next thing I want to talk about. It says in verse 3, of their iniquities, that is their sins, before their face. Should I be acquired of at all by them? They account their idols to be gods, and they worship and fear and trust in and plead for them. This is their sin, that they somehow have allowed this sin of idolatry. There's nothing which so infallibly prevents us from seeing the truth of God as secret sin. I'm talking about you now. I'm not talking about some idol that you can see. I'm talking about the secret sins of your heart. And everybody here has probably got some. Something that is that stumbling block, that sin, that selfishness, that idol of the heart. I believe God will help you understand what that is. It is that practice of dishonesty. It is that cherished lust. It is that pampered self-love. It is that which violates true worship and renders all a lie. Sin is what separates us from God. Second of all, the idols of the hypocrite. Therefore, speaking to them, he says in verse 4, and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols of his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Any person or anything that can replace God in your heart has become an idol. Anything you place before God or side by side with him has become an idol. The moment the affection you are giving to God is given to another thing or person, that substitute becomes an idol. A lot of Christians have secret idols in their hearts, and these idols get them in a lot of trouble. Let me just use you for an illustration for a moment, if you will allow me to, please. Close your eyes for just a second, okay? Close your eyes. This is an illustration. I want to ask you to lay your hand on your heart. And I want you to pray this silently. Hand on the heart, eyes closed, pray this prayer. Oh Lord, show me the idols of my heart. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know what? There's not a person here who's not a hypocrite. Look up here. We're all hypocrites. You know why? Because none of us are all that we think we ought to be. You know, we like to think we're something better than we are. Here's the truth about the idols of hypocrisy, the idols of the hypocrite. Number one, disobedience. He says, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. We're all hypocrites if we think we cannot be deceived. Satan, above everything, is a deceiver. He makes you think you're something else when you're not. My sins are not as bad as someone else's. I mean, we lie to ourselves. Even as you look at your face in the mirror, you think, well, I look pretty good compared to everybody else. But what about in the face of God? By the way, God said, and we need to take this very seriously. Look up here. Folks, God's not playing games about these idols. There's not a sin in Scripture that's more serious than idols. God's offended. In fact, he says, I'm not going to send the prophet to speak to you. I'll speak to you myself. That's what he's saying in the scripture. Because of your disobedience. Think about what he's saying here. You're not willing to look at the real self. Therefore, you never do anything about the idol of disobedience. Second of all, deception. And of course, that has to be in there. He says, and cometh to the prophet. You may deceive the prophet, but you'll not deceive God. You would have thought that somebody would have needed to go and see a prophet would mean well by doing so, but they went there with their own idols in their hearts, and because they had idols in their heart, the Lord said the reply they would get would be according to the idols that were already in their hearts. That is, if anyone has an idol inside his heart, he goes to a prophet for information. God would ask that prophet to answer him according to the idol in his heart, and that person ends up getting the wrong information. This is an idol of deception. And anybody can be deceived. I heard one amen. Anybody can be deceived. I had a deacon years ago tell me, he said, I cannot be deceived. I said, you're deceived. You're deceived if you don't think you can be. There's the idol of deception. And then I believe he's talking about the idol of decision here. He says, I, the Lord, would answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. And then verse 7, for every one of the house of Israel, the stranger that sojourned in Israel, would separate himself from me and set up his idols in his heart and put up his stumbling block of his iniquities before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him according to me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Now, I thought about this because I got this guilt trip going on with self and clay. So, Crystal, they're not in here, are they? We're all one decision from stupid, okay? See, I can't say that word to Clay and Self's in here because their mothers taught them. And if they hear me say it, they say, well, the preacher said it, so it must be all right. It's not a good word, but we're all one decision from being that way, aren't we? I mean, we can make a wrong decision that will result in idol worship easily. I mean, you know, think about it. The decisions you make, make you. Life is full of decisions. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So as far as God's concerned, all the things that many people try to hide are open before him. But the problem, the Christian idols are harder to recognize than others. Our decisions will determine our destiny, the decision today, whether or not to turn to God. Some of you may have never come to Christ. You've never accepted Jesus into your heart. Did you know what? You've made a choice. In fact, everybody's going to go out the door in a minute having made a choice, right? You choose Christ or not. And for you not to choose him is to choose some idol, to choose some other god to worship. Last, and I'm done, the idols of the headstrong, or the headstrong. Now, listen to what he's saying. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus said the Lord, repent, verse 6, and turn yourselves from idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Webster defines headstrong as determined not to follow orders, but to do as one pleases, self-will. So let me give you this in closing. Resistant toward repentance. He's saying, repent, turn yourself from your idols. But most folks don't really like the idea of repentance. We resist repentance. Why is that? Because our tendency and our flesh wants to follow our idols to do what we please. We like doing what we please. Look up here, folks. But one day, if you don't repent now, you will stand before a holy God and you will have to give an account for every sin you've ever committed. And I'll go ahead and tell you, you're the loser. Yeah, you're not going to win before God. You don't have a leg to stand on. You cannot plead your case. Listen to me carefully. You don't even have a lawyer. If you're a Christian, listen to me, you have a lawyer. The Bible speaks of the law. You better have a lawyer, right? We messed up. We didn't keep the law, did we? So we got this lawyer. You know what his name is? Jesus. And he pleads our case before the holy God that his Father is. And he says, hey, that person, receive me as Savior. And the Father looks at the Son and says, let him in. Jesus is the answer. You don't want to resist Jesus. And what Jesus is saying, what God is saying here, repent and turn from adultery. Repentance brings conviction and change and conversion. I love Psalm 101, too. We try to memorize it back at Valentine's. Remember we gave this to each other as husbands and wives at Valentine? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is abase. Wow. We need to live daily in repentance. Second of all, rebellious toward righteousness. We can become rebellion toward righteousness. Rebellious. For every one of the house of Israel are the stranger that sojourned in the Israel, which separated himself from me and set up his idols in his heart, putteth the stumbling block, his iniquity before his faith, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. Listen to what he said, and I read that quickly to say this. I, the Lord, will answer by myself. God is saying, if you choose idols over me, then you're going to answer to me. He is our righteousness. He is truth. You don't want to have a spirit of rebellion at this invitation. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. And don't you think he don't know your name. The song is, he knows my name. He knows your name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And he knows if there's anything between you and him right now. And folks, let me tell you something. You don't want to resist the Holy Spirit, and you sure don't want to rebel against the only one who is our righteousness. I don't come to church and praise God for anything I've done. I praise God for what he's done. And Jesus did it all on the cross. Amen? It's his righteousness. Don't be headstrong. Last, and I'm done, resentful toward reproach. Notice what he says in verse 8. And I will set my face. Now, boy, when God says something, he's serious. This is pretty serious what I'm about to read to you. And I will set my face, this is God talking, toward that man, the man who chooses idols. And I will make him a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, God's saying, I'm going to make an example out of him. And he's saying, this will be talked about much. That's the proverb there. He's saying, the sign is, I'm gonna make an example out of this man. And God will do that. God will put people up all through Scripture. There are people listed one after another who messed up and they did wrong. And God made an example out of them for us to learn from them. Amen? I mean, look at David. He messed up with Bathsheba. You know, it's easy to mess up. Anybody can mess up. But thank God for a Savior. Don't resent God speaking to you. Don't get upset because God shows his disapproval or disappointment as he did with Israel or with any man. We may feel resentful that God is unfair in wanting our undivided devotion. God is a jealous God, and he knows that he is the one and the only one worthy of our worship and our undivided attention. So I'm done now. I just want to say to you, what's got your attention? Do you get more excited about a worldly song or a gospel song? Boy, I like what the choir sung this morning. I'd rather hear some old gospel choir singing any day than to hear some old country music about my exes in Texas. You know, I'd rather hear a good Christian song. In fact, the thing that's blowing me away, it happened again. I ate at a different restaurant this week. They were playing Christian music. And I've been asking these people, why are you playing Christian music? And here's what I've been told. Well, we used to play the rock and roll stuff, and we used to play the rap stuff, but it has so many vulgar words in it that it's not family friendly. So we're playing Christian music. Don't you tell me God ain't up to something. Don't you think, hey, they don't know why they're playing Christian music. It's just because it don't have no curse words in it. But God's getting his word out. Leave, I'll have a spell this morning. Isn't that exciting to you? And friend, I'm going to tell you, I've decided to follow Jesus, and there's not going to be any idol before me. Sherry, I'll tell you, I can talk about her. She carried the grandbaby out. She gets so excited about those Georgia Bulldogs. I'm telling you something, I've never seen a woman, and every time they score, she goes, whoopoo, or something, woohoo, or she'll put her hands up. And I said, why can't you do that at church? Why can't we get excited? Jesus scored a touchdown. Woohoo, amen. I mean, he really did, and his touchdown counts for all eternity. She's got me loving the Georgia Bulldogs. But I knew that. But they are not my God. No. No bulldog's going to be my God. No panther's going to be my God. I've got so I don't even like the Panthers. I don't know what the problem is. I'm a Carolina fan, Jay. I'm not ashamed of it. I'd rather be a Carolina fan than be a Duke fan any day, but God help me. I'm not going to follow any of them. You know why? They're not my God. People divide over sports. That's crazy. They're not your God, are they? Amen. So don't spend all your time and your energy and your focus on some idol. And it becomes an idol when it comes before God. That's what an idol, anything that comes before God. Let's bow our head. Father, I pray that you spoke to hearts today. I know this is a hard subject because entertainment is a big part of our lives. But I pray, God, that we will understand that you want us to enjoy this life. You want us to enjoy sports. You want us to have pleasures in this life. But God, they're not to be our God. They're not to control us. We're not to bow down before them. And if any of us are guilty of that, may we repent quickly. And may we not be resentful that you love us enough to correct us. So God, correct us all today. Lord, more than likely, there's someone here today who's been rejecting your call in their life. You've been calling them to repentance. And yet, they don't know what to do. I pray today they'll simply come to you, Father. You love them. You gave your son to die for them. And they can be saved today because the day is the day of salvation. Lord, what a song we're about to sing. You know our hearts. You know us by name. And you love us so much that you will not let us just live our life any old way. God, help us to realize the price that's been paid for our sins are serious. Our sin debt was serious, and Jesus paid it all on the cross. May we not have no other gods before us, but you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who gave his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross and rose again. There are no other gods. There's only one who got up from the grave, and all these other gods are dead. There's not another God who ever rose on the third day but Jesus Christ. He is our God, and we worship him now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's all stand and sing together.